From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
The birds are chirping, and the sun is shining. It's about 70 degrees outside. Absolutely gorgeous. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait later on to walk my dog and, take a stroll in the park or something. I got to do something outside. It's that nice, folks. And, all right, as far as sports, though, on today's Current Sports, we have a jam-packed show. Leah O'Connor, MSU distance runner, who actually broke a few school records and has really set the pace when you talk about consistent MSU success on the track and field. She will join me in studio around the 1:15 mark to talk about Big Ten championships, which wrapped up this past weekend, and now looking forward to the NCAA regional championships will be coming up at the end of the month, actually. So it'll be great to sit down with Leah and kind of pick her brain on just her absolute, I mean, her track record is unbelievable. She is a very, very great young woman, and we'll dive into her accomplishments and so much more. Also, we'll talk about the NBA draft lottery, folks, which will be taking place tonight, I believe right before the Miami Heat and Indiana Pacers get on their game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. And we'll kind of pick apart what the Pistons need and what we're looking forward to in the NBA draft. And, you know, I really hope my Pistons can get things together. I really hope so because, you know, it's been years and years and years of just inconsistency, years and years and years of not making the playoffs. It's been tough. It's been tough to root for the red, white, and blue, to be quite honest with you all. And I'm a diehard Piston fan. I became a Piston fan, I guess you can say, you know, back when I was first born, I guess you can say, because my uncles were huge, huge bad boy Piston fans, you know, back in the day when, you know, we're talking about players like Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn and John Sally. I mean, that era of Piston lore is so coveted when it comes to Detroit sports because, you know, that was about the only time where Detroit, as far as the Detroit Pistons are concerned, had a fine-tooth identity, you know, known as the bad boys. You didn't like them unless you were from Detroit and were a Detroit Piston fan. You know, they played a type of ball, which I call kind of street ball, you know, playing in the backyard, you know, rough and tumble, you know, call your own fouls. It was certainly something to see, something to certainly witness, and it was a joy to watch. And, you know, I always look back at that era and say, man, what if it could come back? You know, it probably won't because the way the NBA is caught nowadays, I think the game has become too soft. That's just me talking. I've preached that many times on this show before. But, man, I just wish the Pistons would get back to some form of relevancy because, again, they haven't made the playoffs in years, you know. And if you checked out that Bad Boys documentary, it was so eye-opening for a lot of folks because there are a lot of people still out there, especially the younger generation, that don't know anything about the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys era because, you know, it's kind of sandwiched between the Michael Jordan dominance of the 90s and, of course, Magic and Larry Bird's dominance in the 80s, you know, from the beginning to mid-80s. So, you know, and you know, the Pistons won two straight. They had a chance, two opportunities, actually, to win three straight. They came up short. Of course, we all know about the Bill Laimbeer foul on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when they played the Lakers, which wasn't a foul to this day. If you look back at that play, I mean, Bill Laimbeer did not foul the man at all. But, you know, Kareem goes to the free throw line and seals the deal with free throws and, you know, ends the Detroit Pistons' chances of winning the championship there. And, of course, how can you forget about Isaiah Thomas, I think many Detroit Pistons fans out there remember this moment. And, you know, after they score, after the Celtics score, the Pistons get the ball. Isaiah Thomas, all he has to do is kind of just inbounds the ball. It's game five and just kind of run out the clock. But that doesn't happen. Larry Bird comes in and steals the ball, throws it to Adrian Dantley, and the Celtics take the lead and eventually the game. And eventually they went on to the finals, of course. So it was such a heartbreaking moment. And, you know, here on Current Sports, we always talk about going beyond the X's and O's. I always say, you know, I am so blessed and fortunate to wake up in the morning and enjoy what I do. You know, I live, breathe, and eat sports. And it was the reason, sole reason why I came to Michigan State to pursue journalism is because I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. I always knew that. And some people called me crazy to try and attack that dream. People said, oh, Al, you won't find a job in that. There's no guaranteed job in sports broadcasting. Do you know how much competition is out there? Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's certainly a lot of it, folks. And, you know, I just wanted this dream so bad and wanted to be a sports broadcaster so bad that I didn't listen to the doubters. And I talk to a lot of friends of mine, a lot of my fraternity brothers who wake up each and every day, and they just don't enjoy what they do. You know, a lot of them are engineers. Some of them are teaching and just in other professions that they just don't enjoy. And sometimes you need a little motivation to get up in the morning. You know, I totally understand it. Totally understand that. And it's the reason why we decided to bring this segment to Current Sports, Motivational Mondays. Well, it was entitled Motivational Mondays, if you remember. But we decided to switch the name up and call it Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. If you don't know who DeAndre Carter is, he is an outstanding motivational speaker who I got a chance to meet when I was attending MSU, pursuing that sports broadcasting dream. And DeAndre, if you haven't heard him speak, I mean, or been to a campus event where he is speaking at, I mean, you are missing out, man. I mean, the dude is one talented guy. And so talented, we decided to bring him to Current Sports and sort of motivate you in an interesting sports twist. Going back to that Game 5, Detroit versus the Celtics, when Isaiah threw that ball in, you know, it can teach you a lot about adversity. Sports can relate to life in many ways. And the way that Isaiah responded the following year, after facing that moment of adverse, when he threw the ball in and ended the Detroit Pistons' hopes of winning a title, he responded by coming back better and greater. I won't, you know, spoil it with you right now in this moment. I'll let DeAndre do the talking. Here is this week's Motivational Moment with DeAndre Carter.
Man, I'm telling you, we had it. We had it all. Right in the palm of our hands.
Bird guarded by Mahorn. Drives around him. And the ball gets knocked out of bounds by A. Oh, they go the other way.
Then suddenly, we didn't.
Thomas wants to get it in quickly.
And now there's a steal by Bird. Underneath the DJ, right at 1 second left. Bird stole the inbounding pass. Laid it up to DJ. DJ laid it up and in. And Boston has a 1 point lead with 1 second left. Oh, my God.
A diehard Detroit Bad Boys Piston fan in the mid to late 80s, those words burned in my soul. They burned in my ears. But most importantly, that moment burned in the heart of Isaiah Thomas. He was the leader of the Detroit Pistons, the heart of that team. And it was him that made the biggest mistake. In fact, it hurt so bad that Isaiah himself said he almost contemplated quitting. It hurt that bad to know that he was the one that made the critical, pivotal mistake in Game 5, where they could have stolen a game from the Celtics on their home court and had a chance to go back to Detroit and clinch it. So painful. How do you react? How do you respond when you are the reason that you came up short? Hopefully you respond the same way that Isaiah and those Bad Boy Pistons did, because one thing they realize is that pain is the fuel for greatness. You have to take your defeats and use it as fuel, put it into your work and put it into your focus to go out and create greatness, to tell yourself that we will never, ever, ever come up short again. And then if you face the Lakers in the finals of next year and you come up short, you got to repeat the speech and come back stronger and sweep them boys out. See, that's what I'm talking about. They realize that pain is the fuel for greatness, and you use defeat to prepare you for your greatest victory. That is the lesson we can learn from this, folks. Pain is the fuel for greatness. Let's go out here and make something happen. This has been another Motivational Moment with DeAndre Carter, reminding you that life is what you make it. Choose to make every day a great day. And don't forget, coming out soon, straight to you, a future bestseller, Demand Greatness, Fighting for the Life You Deserve. Follow us on Facebook at DC Inspires, Twitter, Instagram. We're out there at DC Inspires. And let it be known, in life you don't get what you demand, you get what you deserve. I'm telling you to demand greatness.
All right, that's again DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and contributor here to Current Sports. Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. Thanks for taking us back in time, DeAndre, even though I'm having nightmares still about that moment. They could have won 3 straight titles. Just imagine if that didn't happen. I mean, the Pistons probably going to win that game, and they go on to win the 1987 NBA championship, and they went on to win the 1988 NBA championship, and the 1989 NBA championship. So, I mean, goodness, it could have been a three-peat, but hey. yeah, you learned something from that moment. Motivational moments with DeAndre Carter, I tell you. And if you want to contribute and, you know, give your thoughts on what you would like, you know, DeAndre to speak upon next week, you know, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. All right, well, let's dive into the show really quick. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 20th, 2014. Okay, one of my favorite high school sporting events in Mid-Michigan began yesterday, the Diamond Classic Baseball Tournament down at Kircher Municipal Park. I got a chance to go out there and view the first two games of the tourney. DeWitt and Lansing Catholic, they started off things in game one of the tourney, the Panthers topping the Cougars 7-4, knocking off the defending champion Lansing Catholic team. DeWitt scored four runs in the first inning and added one in the second and two in the third. Now, the Panthers advanced to face Portland at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday in a quarterfinal matchup at Cooley Law School Stadium. Now, in the second game, East Lansing took on St. John's, the Trojans winning that one easily with a 13-3 win on Monday night. East Lansing now faces Eden Rapids at 7:30 p.m. Thursday in a quarterfinal at Cooley Law School Stadium. You can catch highlights of both of those games this week on Current Sports TV, Thursday night at 10 p.m. We also record that episode with James Moore, former MSU football star back in the 80s, played on the Rose Bowl team. Tomorrow night at 6 p.m., you can be a part of that live studio audience by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. And how about this? Now, Brian Forbes, a Cleveland State shooting guard who won two state titles with Denzel Valentine at Lansing Sexton, confirmed via text message Monday that he is potentially interested in transferring to MSU. Now, the 6'3" Forbes, who averaged 15.6 points as a sophomore last season while shooting 42.4% from the three-point range, had not yet made contact with MSU coaches as of Monday evening and texted that he doesn't want to comment further until he does so. Now, Cleveland State coach Gary Waters told the Cleveland Plain Dealer he gave Forbes permission to talk to MSU when Forbes told the paper a son in Lansing and a sister with medical issues are a factor in his interest in returning home. So we'll see how that pans out. The Tigers. Oh, Alex was wrong on this one, folks. The Tigers, they got their streak snapped. I had to call him out on this because he went on the air yesterday. But, hey, the Tigers, they never had a lead against the Cleveland Indians on Monday night is at Progressive Field and lost 5-4 on a walk-off home run by Michael Brantley on a 3-2 pitch from Al Albuquerque with two outs in the bottom of the 10th. The loss snapped a 6-game winning streak overall and an 11-game road winning streak for the Tigers. The Tigers arrived in Cleveland just a few hours before the game scheduled 7:05 p.m. start. A mechanical problem with the team playing caused them to stay overnight in Boston. The second game of the series is tonight at 7:05 p.m. And I actually showed up to the game with these really cool Zumba outfits. I didn't even realize what a Zumba was until they wore them before the game. Pretty fly. I might get me one myself. All right, Sue. Ndamukong Suh, folks. It seems that the Ndamukong Suh drama may be nearing a close. The star defensive tackle is in Detroit and we reportedly participate in organized team activities. Now, new Lions head coach Jim Caldwell told NFL media insider Ian Rappaport that Sue had stayed in contact with him throughout the offseason. Now, the Lions and Sue are currently in negotiations for a contract extension as he will become an unrestricted free agent in 2015 at the latest. Now, he has a team option for one more season after this year. The NBA draft lottery tonight, folks, the most exciting hour of the year for the worst teams in the NBA comes tonight as the league hosts its draft lottery in New York City. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks, owners of the worst record in the league last year, have the best odds of winning at 25%. Right behind them are the 76ers at 19% and the Orlando Magic at 15%. Now, the Pistons, who had the eighth worst record, have a 2.8% chance of winning the top pick. Now, those are not really – I'm really hoping. I love the lottery because I'm really hoping the Pistons can pull this off. Now, you never know what's going to happen in the lottery. That's what makes it really intriguing. And later on in the show, we're going to kind of, you know, dive into what the Pistons need in this NBA draft and also what we're looking forward to the most in the NBA draft because I tell you what, it's an exciting hour due to the fact because – you know, many people have like these superstitious type of areas where they bring like a, you know, their good luck charm, so to speak. And I'll kind of go back in history and list some of my favorite moments of good luck charms in the NBA draft lottery. You don't want to miss that. Should be an entertaining hour before. Again, that's before the Miami Heat and Indiana Pacers tip off tonight. And how about the San Antonio Spurs, folks? They rolled outstanding offensive efficiency to a 122-105 win in game one of the Western Conference Finals. Oklahoma City, they sorely missed big man Serge Ibaka as the Spurs outscored the Thunder 66-32 in the paint. My goodness. Tim Duncan had 27. Manu Ginobili added 18 off the bench. After falling behind early, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook led a comeback briefly gave the Thunder a 78-77 lead, but the Spurs responded with 10 straight points and took control for good. Game 2, Wednesday night. All right, and how about this? On Monday, the NBA set up a hearing date on June 3rd where owners around the league could vote to terminate Donald Sterling's ownership of the L.A. Clippers. Now, the league officially charged Donald Sterling with damaging the league and its teams with racist comments, and said he had conducted himself in a way that has damaged his relationships with fans and merchandising partners. Now, he has until May 27th to respond to the charge and can appear at the June 3rd hearing and present his case to the NBA's board of directors. Now, if he doesn't respond to the charges or appear at the hearing, it will be deemed an admission of his guilt according to the NBA's constitution. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this thing pans out. Again, June 3rd, that's the hearing date where owners around the league could terminate Donald Sterling's ownership. Eyes will be glued to their TVs to see how that one pans out. And how about this? The New York Rangers took Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals with a 3-2 victory over the Montreal Canadiens. Henrik Lundqvist led the Rangers with 40 saves, while the Canadiens are without top goaltender Carey Price, who is out for the playoff series with a right knee injury. Now, the Canadiens and Rangers will play Game 3 in New York at 8 p.m. on Thursday night. Man, it is not looking good for Montreal right now. My goodness. And Floyd Mayweather, folks, according to Floyd Mayweather's promotions executive, Floyd will fight an opponent to be determined on September 13th. So the date is booked. Mark it on your calendars. The pay-per-view fight will be the fourth of a six-bout deal worth around $200 million that Mayweather signed with Showtime in 2013. Now, Mayweather's team is looking at opponents right now and says they will have it all ironed out in the next 2 weeks. I am certainly hoping that he will fight Marcos Maidana again, because Marcos almost had him. I'm just saying. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, well, before we hit our first break, we got to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Now, the Michigan State track and field team finished with a grand total of 10 medals at the 2014 Big Ten Outdoor Championships this past weekend. At the conclusion of the meet held at Rankin Track and Field on the campus of Purdue University, the Spartan women, they finished 6th, while the men placed 11th with 37 points. Now, redshirt junior, she is unbelievable, Leah O'Connor, she broke her own school record to win her second title of the championships, and she has now medaled in each of the last 9 indoor and outdoor events in which she has contested in. That's unbelievable. And she joins us today to talk about it all. Leah, welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah.
Well, you are certainly all smiles on this lovely Tuesday, and deservedly so after reading that impressive outing this past weekend at the Big Ten Championships. Now, I got to ask you, you've been a first-team All-Big Ten member, second-team All-American member, broken a school record and personal record. What's been the key to your consistent success, Leah?
I honestly think it's just having a really good coach and really awesome teammates who help me every single day. I came in my freshman year and I was really underdeveloped as an athlete and as a runner. And I took a redshirt season all 3 seasons my freshman year and just had to grow and learn how to train. So I think just consistency and every day working with people that really want to see you succeed has been my key to success.
Leah, you talk about that training. I mean, what did you learn during those moments, during that duration, talking with the coaches? I mean, what did you learn about yourself coming into that role, competing at a Big Ten school?
Yeah, I learned that it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And there are times when you really question yourself and you question your ability. And the older I've gotten, the more I've learned that it takes a lot of mental toughness and perseverance, and I saw that come into play this weekend. Even I was scared out of my mind going into the 1500. I was tired. I didn't feel that great, and I talked to my coach 10 minutes before the race went off, and he just said, you need to trust yourself, and you don't have to do anything except like the best that you can possibly do. I just kind of went into it playing into everything that I've done the last 4 years and just trying to be really tough and compete, and it worked out really well.
So, Leah, you entered that race not feeling the best. Were you sick before that race?
No, I just think it's a long weekend. I had to do a prelim to get into the final for the 1500, so I ran almost a mile, and then a few hours later I did steeplechase, which is 3,000 meters, and it's kind of a hard race. And then I had to wake up the next morning and run the final for the 1,500. And so it's just a long day, and you're tired, and your body gets tired, and you're mentally a little bit worn out, so you have to kind of rally and decide to be really tough.
That is unbelievable. That makes it even more special, to be honest with you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, for you, Leah, I mean, you along with Tori Franklin and Lauren Chorney, is that my saying her last name right? Chorney, all were named to the All Big Ten First Team. What does that mean to you?
It's just an honor. I mean, that is a really tough meet, and being First Team All Big Ten is not always guaranteed because, as my coach continually says, when you're competing at the Big Ten, you're competing against a lot of people that you're going to see at the NCAA meet, and that is kind of where the U.S.'s best athletes compete. So it's like a miniature NCAA, and so it's definitely tough to get on the podium there and to be able to do that consistently as those girls have done, and I've been blessed to be able to do. I mean, that's a big deal, and it's an honor.
Yeah, and, you know, Leah, you kind of alluded to it, you know, going through such a long weekend like that, and frankly, a long season, and a long year. I mean, the track season is certainly long, a lot of workouts, a lot of preparation for it. I mean, I see it constantly, all the time, athletes, you know, get hit with the injury bug.
Yeah.
And you, fortunately, haven't been bitten by it. And for you, the longevity that it takes to succeed in the world of track and field, being healthy has to be a big part of that. How have you been able to stay healthy throughout this entire time? I mean, it's really remarkable.
Yeah, training is definitely grueling when you're a distance runner because it's not just track. I mean, we do cross country as well. So we're training all year round. We get a week maybe in between each season to just kind of unwind a little bit, and then we're right back into it. So I think for me, it's not overdoing my mileage, listening to my body, eating well, I think it's really important to not just be an athlete. I think you have to have that balance to maintain relationships and just be able to relax and put your feet up with your friends. And I definitely don't live the way a normal college student does. You know, I don't get to go out to the bars and act crazy. But just to take that time that I have and really relax and make sure that I'm not just a runner, you know. And I think that's really important because you can put a lot of pressure on yourself and that wears you down after a while, and you have to be emotionally prepared to do what you have to do every day, and that requires a lot of rest.
That's certainly a good message, without a doubt. And, you know, I have to bring this up. You have four brothers, one sister. George III is currently on the Oakland University track and field team, right? Am I mistaken?
Yep,
he runs at Oakland, while Allison, she ran track and field at Central Michigan University. How and when did the O'Connor track, quote unquote, domination begin?
I always remember just us being a very athletic family. And I think when I said this before, when I was a little kid, I was taking naps out at the track when my sister would be competing because, you know, my parents would go watch her and they didn't want to get a babysitter. So I just remember sitting out there and watching her run and just knowing that that's something that I really wanted to do. And my brothers are really into it. And George, obviously, yes, he's competing at Oakland. And my little brother, Andrew, is going to come to MSU and run. I'm really excited to have him there for a year. It's just a cultural thing in my family. I guess my parents were both runners.
Wow. Just runs in your blood.
Yeah, running runs in our blood. My dad, when I was a little kid, would go out and run. I remember seeing him just do 8 miles a day just to get that feel. He loved distance running, and my mom was a sprinter, hurdler. So we always joke that we kind of got the best of both of them because we're kind of in the middle, like mile, steeplechase, that kind of stuff.
Wow, just a wide range.
Yeah, they definitely helped us develop our passion for sport and encourage us. My parents are awesome. They're always there at my races, and they don't intrude too much. They don't try to coach me, but they're the best.
I was just about to ask that, yeah.
Yeah, they're the best cheerleaders, and they know what I'm doing and how much hard work goes into it.
So. And you said Andrew's coming here next year, right?
Yeah.
What kind of advice are you giving him?
MSU's awesome.
That's good advice. That's great advice.
He's been around watching me run. I mean, he's obviously younger, and he sees how hard it is. And I'm hoping that he gets to come in and develop himself as an athlete and get the best out of himself. And so my advice is just to have fun with it and come to state and be prepared to work hard, but to have a really awesome experience.
Now, for you, Leah, you know, going to Crosswell Lexington High School. Where is Crosswell, by the way? I don't know where that is.
Middle of nowhere.
I know, right? How far is that from here?
Okay, I always explain it. It's in the thumb of Michigan.
It's in the thumb,
30
okay.
minutes north of Port Huron.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's Lexington is a little resort town on the lake. We get a lot of tourists in the summer. In the winter, it is dead. There's nobody there. I live outside of Crosswell and kind of the farmland. So I'm like 12 miles away from Lexington. Yeah, it's just a little town. It's a typical little town. And if you're from around there, you kind of know what's going on there. But if you're not from the thumb area, you don't know where Crosswell is.
No, I looked at it. I'm saying, where? Crosswell, that's got to be out of Michigan, right?
No.
And I saw it, and it's in Michigan. Now, for you, going to Crosswell Lexington High School, I mean, you had an unbelievable track career there. When was the moment that you knew that you were pretty good at this sport?
Probably, I think freshman year when I was in college, I kind of made the decision that running was my thing. Sophomore year, I decided to quit volleyball and basketball to do cross-country, indoor track, and outdoor track because I wasn't very good at basketball and volleyball. I think I broke my hand one day at basketball practice and realized, like,
oh man,
if that could have been my something on my leg, you know, and I wouldn't have been able to run. And that was I wasn't willing to sacrifice anything for running. So, or I was willing to sacrifice anything for running. So, I kind of noticed early on that if I applied myself and I worked hard at running, I could get a scholarship, and that was something that was really important, being from a family of six kids.
Right.
You know, my parents make enough, but not enough to send all six of us through to college, so that was something that I really wanted to strive towards, and I love it, so it was an easy decision to make, just to give my best and hopefully win some state titles and then maybe get some money to go to a good school.
Yeah, that certainly all happened, I tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with MSU distance runner Leah O'Connor. Now, Leah, 19 women and 10 men will be represented at the NCAA East Regional Championships coming up. I mean, how are you preparing? How are you getting ready for that at the end of the month?
I mean, we've been preparing for a long time. This is right now we get to kind of wind down a little bit, which is nice. I mean, not wind down mentally, but with our training, we're not doing as tough of workouts. We're kind of getting to taper a little bit. So we're just trusting our fitness at this point and then mentally gearing ourselves up, getting ready to compete at these championship meets is no small task. I mean, Big Tens was a really long weekend, and then we have a week, and then we're on a plane bound for Jacksonville, and then we have a Monday to Sunday, a week basically in Jacksonville, where we're focusing on our races there, and then hopefully we pick right back up and head out to Oregon. So
that's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's you just kind of have to be prepared to not be as rested and but also be really engaged mentally. So it's the most exciting part of the year, but it's also pretty tough to know how to manage yourself and where your energy needs to go and how much of it you need to apply to be ready to compete.
You know, Leah, I'm always fascinated when I talk to athletes, especially as the season winds down, to sort of evaluate their goals before the season started to the conclusion of the season. As it winds down for you now, looking at what you wanted to accomplish coming into this season, have you done that, or is the work still left to be done now looking at the end of the month?
I think ultimately my goals are focused on NCAAs now, but a huge part of my goals are Big Tens and getting through that and being able to represent my team well and get those 20 points is huge. And I kind of breathe a sigh of relief now that Big Tens is over because I do look forward to that so much, and there is a little bit of pressure that comes along with it. So, that was really important to do well at. But then at Nationals, you know, gunning to be one of the top in the nation and having that to really look forward to now is really important. And then I think this year I'm going to be able to move on to USA's, which is the meet after Nationals. There's no World Championships this year or Olympics or anything like that. But USA's would be a really fun meet to just get to and experience because you race against post-collegiate runners and it's not just people in the NCAA.
So it's competition ups a level.
Yeah, it's professionals. And that's something that I really want to experience, and I haven't yet, so hopefully I get to do that.
So is that the goal after the MSU career is done, to do this professionally?
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. I definitely, like I mentioned before, I think it's important to have a balance. And I would like to have, you know, a professional career beyond running as well. But I didn't have a really extensive high school career in running. And I feel like being 4 years into it in college now, I don't think I'm going to be done next year. You know, I haven't, right. I haven't been at it that long. And yeah, so I could definitely see myself continuing to do this for at least a couple years after I graduate, if I'm able to, and if financially that works out and everything, you know, all the ducks align. But yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Well, we certainly wish you the best, Leah. And what are you studying here at MSU?
I'm a journalism major.
Get out of here.
Nah.
You want to be a broadcaster?
Yeah, something. I don't know yet. So
you should be over here then. Man, I tell you. We gotta have you host a show one day. You know, how's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
We'll definitely be in touch, Leah. There you have it. Leah O'Connor, MSU distance runner. She is one remarkable young woman. Again, we wish you all the luck in the world as the season winds down. I think May 29th is when that starts. May 29th, NCAA Regional Championships, MSU. Man, I tell you, the success just keeps on coming for this team. There you have it. We're going to hit the break really quick. When we come back, we will talk about the NBA draft lottery. What do the Pistons need? And for our Top 5 Tuesday, we have an interesting one for you. Of course, we talked about the horse racing over the past few weekends. We're going to list the top five horses of all time, folks. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Current Sports returns in just a sec. What's going on? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky as we move on to our second segment of the show. We just finished talking with Leah O'Connor, MSU distance runner, who has had she's a redshirt junior, but has had one outstanding track career thus far. I mean, my goodness. I mean, she was named to she's a former All-American and, you know, was named to, of course, the All-Big Ten team. Not too long ago, and she's just amazing. I mean, if you haven't seen her run or been following her career, it's certainly remarkable, and it comes from a great, great family. Again, NCAA Regional Championships take place on May 29th. We wish MSU good luck as they prepare for that. All right, well, the NBA Draft Lottery, folks. Yes, the NBA Draft Lottery is tonight. It's always an exciting time as the NBA's worst teams will be, well-represented from many owners and other personnel to come out and see if they can land a top pick, top five or so pick in the NBA draft. It's always great to see because anything can happen. That's why I love watching the NBA draft lottery. Matt, I'm really hoping my Pistons can pull something off here. I'm hoping that the ducks align. You know, something I always love to see is whether or not something crazy happens and an unexpected team does get that top pick. And, you know, it's so fun for me because you get to see all of the superstition type of guys who come in with good luck charms, and there's been a plethora of them in the past. I'll list a few of them, but what are you looking forward to the most, man, tonight?
Honestly, from a Pistons fan perspective, I'm just looking to see if they keep the pick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they are on the edge right now.
Right.
They traded the pick back in 2012 as part of the Ben Gordon deal. They dealt it to Charlotte. It is top eight protected. Right now they are slotted for the eighth pick.
Right.
If somebody 9 through 13 jumps them and makes it into the top three, they get pushed out of that top eight. The pick is gone. That would be a big blow to the rebuilding project for Stan Van Gundy. So I'm just hoping they keep the pick.
Yeah, I'm hoping that would be the best case scenario for him right now, I think. And you know, for the Pistons, I mean, they need, for me, when looking at, you know, this entire draft, and you know, looking at this Piston team, we've debated this week in and week out on what exactly the Pistons need. You know, let's say they get a big, you know, a top pick in the draft, or they keep their pick. What exactly? Who should they draft in this year's upcoming draft? And for me, you know, looking at it, I've always gone on record to say that I don't think, and Stan Van disagrees with this, but I don't think that Smith, Drummond, and Monroe will ever be able to play together cohesively. Now, Stan, I hope you prove me wrong, but looking at some reports, when he's come out and been asked that question, especially in the presser when he was introduced as the Pistons' new president of basketball operations / coach, he addressed the, you know, Josh Smith and Monroe and Drummond and whether they could ever play together. And he felt very positive about it. He felt as though, you know, Josh Smith has been bashed more than he's deserved, I guess you should say. And he believes that he can make some miracles happen here. For me, I don't think it'll ever happen, but I hope Stan Van proves me wrong. If I'm the Pistons in this draft, Matt, I really think that they're hurting right now when it comes to the point guard and shooting guard positions, because they, you know, Brandon Jennings, he had flashes this year where you said, oh my goodness, I mean, this kid can score. He can definitely score without a doubt. But on both ends of the court, especially defensively, I didn't see consistency at all. And you know, Jennings, I still think he can emerge and come back and have a great year. Again, he can score the ball. We know that. But facilitating and doing more to you know, have that offense flow, I would like to see more of. I think they should go with a point guard or shooting guard in this year's draft, even if it's just a solid point guard coming off the bench to back up Jennings. I think that'd be great. I could even see, as far as the shooting guard goes, I mean, Nick Stauskas, why not Nick? Gary Harris? Tyler Ennis, point guard from Syracuse, I think he would be a great addition. Rodney Hood is another guy I've looked at, shooting guard slash small forward from Duke. I think he could come in and give a great contribution off the bat. And, you know, if it happens, Doug McDermott from Creighton I think would be a great addition too, if that does happen. I don't know if Doug will even fall
Doug
to
McDermott.
Us, but if that does happen, yeah. But they need a guard who can come in, can control a game to the point where it can get everybody involved, facilitate, and also play defense. That's what I'm looking for the Pistons to do up in this year's upcoming draft. I really hope they do that.
I would love to see something like that. The other name I'll throw in the ring there is James Young from Kentucky. Mm,
that's another guy I looked at too.
Because for me, more than anything, they need someone who can space the floor. Mm. They did not have nearly enough effective three-point shooting. We saw when Stan Van Gundy was in Orlando, they basically built the team, I mean, just four shooters around Dwight Howard. I don't think they'll do quite to that extent here in Detroit, but that's a big part of the offense. And the three-point shot is a big part of basketball, like it or not, and they need more guys who can consistently knock down that jumper. So whether it is a Stauskas or Harris or James Young, I think either, you know, any of those three would be a great pick, especially at number 8.
Right.
The question is going to be, are all those guys going to be there?
Yeah, if they fall, yeah.
And let's say the Pistons somehow luck out and get into that top 3. If they're there, I mean, you have to take a look at a Dante Exum from Australia, the foreign player. Now, I know maybe the Darko Milicic memories mm-hmm. will scare them away from taking a foreign player in the top 5.
I don't know much about him. Is he's a highly touted guy?
He's very highly touted. Okay. He's got shooting guard size and point guard skills. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You know, if luck strikes and they make the top 3, he's an option.
Right.
But at the very least, I think they need somebody who can command some attention out at the three-point line, because the biggest thing last year that they struggled with was spacing.
Right.
Part of that is the Josh Smith, Greg Monroe, Andre Drummond trio.
Right.
Too many bodies in the paint. I think it would help if they have somebody who teams have to pay attention to 25 feet from the basket.
Yeah, I agree, because their three-point shooting was certainly horrid, to say the least. Alex, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, and the thing about the Pistons is, if there's any team to pick a James Young, I would consider the Pistons, because
hometown guy.
Not only is he a hometown guy, Rochester to be exact, but the Pistons love younger players. Look at Amir Johnson years ago. Darko, like you said. Look at what they do with Drummond. They like developing these younger guys that aren't necessarily junior seniors coming out of college that are going to really develop and mature over time. They unfortunately couldn't see Amir Johnson pan out, but they took a chance on him. So I'd say that's a very viable option. For me, what I'm looking for is with McDermott, he for me is the Johnny Manziel. He has a wide range of where he can drop. Not to say that he's a hothead off the court, or not to say that he has a lot of off-the-court issues, but it's so rangy for him, because there's so many things you can pin on this guy.
As far as, you know, positive pins or negative pins?
Negative pins, you know.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like teams are wondering if how he'll do in the NBA. He's coming from a Creighton team. He doesn't play against not necessarily great conference teams. So how will he do in the league? So I feel like that's the thing that's going to kind of hurt him. And he has the range typically that Manziel had in the draft.
I don't know. I kind of disagree. I think McDermott is a guy, you know, looking at his career, he's a guy who really shocked everybody from what he could do on the court. I think he's a great shooter, without a doubt. and he's a guy who can give you sort of a lengthy inside presence if need be. I don't know. I think McDermott, I think he's going to – he did have a great combine as well. So I was looking at his combine numbers, and he really shot his stock up.
It's just like Johnny. Great combine, great career in college, showed he can do a lot, but he's very rangy.
I don't know.
I think the name that Doug McDermott is going to have to fight against the most is Adam Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Morrison, you could have said a lot of the same things you're saying about Doug McDermott back when he was in the draft. He was a top pick for Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the league in a few years. I mean, he was unstoppable when he was at Gonzaga back in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's a what-if story. Now, Doug McDermott does not have as terrible of a mustache as Adam Morrison did.
Adam Morrison.
Did he get
drafted by the Bobcats, I think?
He did. Yeah. I don't know if that factored into him working his way out of the league. It was a terrible mustache, but at the very least, you know, it's just that ultra, you know, skilled player.
Mm-hmm.
Who maybe isn't as athletic as some of the other guys coming out in the draft. I think he's going to have to battle that perception from a lot of teams just because of the similarities they have. You know, small school guy, NCAA scoring champion.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to prove himself, absolutely. And I think he's going to be one of the more interesting rookie stories going into next season.
Yep.
Yeah, he definitely is. And I got to ask you guys, you know, this is an interesting question when I was, you know, putting together the notes for the day. And, you know, I thought it would be fitting to ask this with the draft lottery taking place tonight. You know, when looking at this entire season, there were some teams that were just bad. Of course, you know, we named the 76ers, and I could go on and on. There were a lot of bad teams in the NBA this year, especially the Eastern Conference, which was just horrid for them. But, you know, if you – let's just say you had the power, the end-all, be-all power in basketball fantasy land here, that you could somehow give the number one pick to a certain team because you felt as though they deserved it, even though they were bad.
Yep.
Which team – would you give the number one pick?
Yeah,
to?
I'm gonna start this off. The Magic just need a number one pick.
Another
guys.
One?
You think that you really? Go ahead. Why?
The reason is because they're in the point now where what they have the third pick, I believe. They're slated to be the third. I think the third pick.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They're to the point where they could use help at every position, and although they're not the end all worst team, you could argue, but they need the most help at each position, and for that kind of team at the number three pick. You're limited to some of the topper talent, and you may not have some of the options you would have liked on the table. And that's the kind of team where you need a stud to really be a playmaker and run with that team. I don't think they're the worst team here, but I feel that they have the most needs at every position.
So you would give it to the Magic?
I would give it to the Magic.
What about you, Matt? Who would you give it to?
Ooh, I don't know. The thought of Andrew Wiggins in a Pistons uniform is really tempting.
Yeah, it is tempting.
Just because you could slot him right into that.
Well, besides
that
the bias that we have,
besides
of course.
The bias.
Yeah, besides the bias we have.
I think it might be the Bucks, and I know they are. You know, as far as their record shows, the worst team. But they're also the team in the most jeopardy of losing their franchise.
They're also the team that typically screws up their draft picks.
Well, all these teams typically. Could say the Cavaliers more than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they said, we're not coming back to the lottery. We're not coming back to the lottery. Oh, well, hold on, guys. You're number nine this year.
Right.
I mean, they're still here.
They did draft LeBron. But it was a good pick.
They also drafted Anthony Bennett. And Tristan Thompson with top five picks.
Yeah, I mean, remember both of those picks.
It hasn't been all roses.
Still have time.
Yeesh, I don't know.
So you would go with
I might go
Milwaukee.
With the Bucks just
You'll
because
go with the Bucks. They're so bad.
They need new blood in that organization. They need to inject some life into that sports city.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I really do. I think that's my pick.
Well, I tell you what, I'm kind of going to take the different angle between both of you guys. I'm going to reward a team here for being not great, but not bad and proving a lot of people wrong. I'm going to go with the Phoenix Suns here. I'm going to reward the Phoenix Suns for a team that just missed the NBA playoffs. It will be a great reward for Jeff Hornacek. I had the Phoenix. I always go back to this. I had the Phoenix Suns as my worst team in the league. I mean, I did not think they would even come close to making the playoffs. They somehow, you know, pulled things off. I think they have a very young and talented club over there. Jeff Hornacek has proven himself as a great coach in the league. I think if Jeff Hornacek's Suns would have made the playoffs, I think he would have been up there in Coach of the Year talks, without a doubt.
I think
without a doubt.
That Dragic and completely proved himself this
Goran
year.
Goran Dragic, definitely. And I think Eric Bledsoe was another kid who came out and really proved himself as well. I mean, you know, I would give them number one pick. And, hey, Wiggins could be a great compliment to Dragic and Bledsoe.
Yeah, why give them the number one pick when they're proving people wrong, though?
I would reward them because a team like that, the Phoenix Suns haven't been relevant in God knows when. To come that I hurt for them because they were so close to proving everybody really wrong and making the playoffs. And to come that short, I mean, I kind of felt for him. I would have liked to have seen the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs. Jeff Hornacek deserves it, and I think they deserve a top pick. I don't know. That's just how
I just – I would hate to see even more talent go to the West. Mm. It's already so imbalanced as it is. I think the East needs some notable
You'll give the
names.
East some love?
Yeah.
They do. They need all
They've
love
been
they
in the
get,
dumps
so
for, what,
bad.
15 years?
Yeah.
I mean –
I hear you. I hear you. I got a lot of love for Jeff Hornacek and the Suns, though. They won my heart. They were my love story of the NBA season this past year. All right, well, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the top five Tuesday, folks. Of course, California Chrome is really taking head of the headlines this past few days due to his unbelievable win. He is now has two big wins, has a chance to win at the Belmont Stakes for a chance at the Triple Crown. So in light of California Chrome's dominance, we're going to ask you all to call in and give us your just top five horses of all time. It's here. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, we have about 12 minutes left in the show. And each and every Tuesday here on Current Sports, we have a top five sports topic that, blows your socks off. And this week, we have an interesting one in light of course, California Chrome and his chance to accomplish a feat that hasn't been accomplished since the 70s, the coveted Triple Crown. Yes, he won the Preakness this past weekend and has a chance to do that at the Belmont Stakes in a few weeks. And, in light of that, we decided to give our list for the top five horses of all time. We're going to kind of switch up the order here, guys. We'll go five first, and I'll give our five pick, and then four, and then I'll give our four pick. Just kind of differentiate it here instead of just going, giving our full list all at once. So, five. Who would you give as your number five right now, Alex?
My number five is a horse by the name of Seattle Slough. It's the 10th Triple Crown winner, a great milestone. This horse also Americanized, so I had to do it. And unfortunately, someone I left off the list was California Chrome. You saw me yesterday downing it. I'm not ready to throw in the bow yet. I just think that he still has something to prove. If he wins this next race, then I'll throw him a hat in. But aside from these upcoming races, we haven't heard of California Chrome on the map at all previously. So I thought that since I didn't put California Chrome on, we'd put some American horse on, Seattle Slough.
Well, I don't have California Chrome on my list at all either.
Oh, good.
Yet, so
I would see. I thought you would.
No, I don't have it. No, I think he has to first win a Triple Crown. I still have some of these horses I have on my list haven't even won a Triple Crown. So, and I'll kind of give my reasons why in just a sec. But first for me, five, Black Caviar. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Black Caviar. It's a cool name. I love that name. But he's a retired Australian thoroughbred racehorse, undefeated in 25 races, a success record not equal for over 100 years. I mean, again, 25-0, never failed a loss. Again, that hasn't happened in I don't know how long. So that's number five. Let's start off.
Yeah. All right. Well, Al, this top five really tested me. I will be the first to admit I am not a horse expert.
I am not either.
And I will also admit that only two of my selections here are real horses.
Real.
Three are fictional, including my number five pick.
I like this.
Including my number five pick, which is Joey from War Horse, the wildly successful Broadway play turned, I believe, Steven Spielberg movie.
Okay. I haven't seen
and
that.
And he makes my list because how many of these other horses have won multiple Tony Awards?
None of them.
I'll tell you, none of them.
Right. That's,
none
that's
of
high
them.
Up there.
So, War Horse, Joey, he's my horse, number five.
That's my pick. That was clever. You know, it doesn't have to always be racehorses here. I said horses. Top five horses of all time. So, hey, I like that. All right, number four. Alex, who you got number four?
My number four is Man O' War.
Man O' War, okay.
Back in World War One, had a lot of success. Won a UK Triple Crown champ, was a champion for the UK Triple Crown. So for me, a world horse here, I had to go with Man O' War.
No, Man O' War, I totally screwed that one up. Man O' War, he made my list too. He was number three on my list. A very, very impressive horse nonetheless. So I ranked him a little higher than you. For my number four though, Alex, I went with a different type of horse here. Seabiscuit. How can you forget about Seabiscuit? They made a movie out of the horse, for goodness sake. I mean, Seabiscuit, without a doubt, there was an argument here. He could have been number one. His track record was certainly unbelievable. His story was unbelievable as well. If you haven't seen the movie, you got to check out the movie. But he's only lost four races throughout his entire career. Unbelievable horse, Seabiscuit. You're on my list, number four.
Seabiscuit, nice. He barely missed my list because I've seen that movie. Tobey Maguire's fine in it.
Yeah.
But he didn't make the cut. He did not make the cut.
He didn't make your top five. How does Seabiscuit? Oh, that's unbelievable. Okay.
I'm gonna switch my order up just because I don't want to get all the fictional ones out of the way right now.
Right.
Let me go Affirmed at number four.
Affirmed is a good one.
Now, a Triple Crown winner in 78. He is on my list just because he had a 3-year reign of terror. He won tons of races in 1977. Wins the Triple Crown in 1978 and was voted Horse of the Year in 1979. That is a long career for a thoroughbred horse.
It is.
3 years of pure dominance is more than most horses can say, so Affirmed gets my number four spot.
I like that. All right. Number three, what you got, Alex?
My number three is Barbaro. If you all remember him, I had to put him on my list just because I had to put a horse on that I actually remember. Barbaro, years back, won the first Kentucky Derby, then got hurt, unfortunately, was put down. One of the better stories, there are tons
Isn't
of documents.
Isn't that sad? When horses get hurt, they just die.
This horse, so they say, was set to be one of the great ones. And for me, I just remember it was just sad. They did a whole investigation on putting the horse down. Was it right? There were tons of crowdfunding and a lot of other organizations built to help Barbaro. I remember watching it live, watching him fall on the racetrack. It was really tough to see.
Man, that's tough. Man, that's one thing. That's one area of horse racing that does disturb me. When a horse does, you know, break a leg or something like that, I mean, they can't do much about it.
What he brought, there are tons of foundations now dedicated to horses with injuries.
But they just put him down. They did, but
he left such a legacy in today's digital age that I think that it's too hard not to miss him.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's a good. I like that one. All right, I won't waste any time. I went Man of War with number three, as I said. Alex, Matt, who's your number three?
Oh, my number three, I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Silver from The Lone Ranger. And
that's a good one.
I'm not counting the Johnny Depp movie.
Right.
I'm not going to hold that against him.
I haven't seen that. I heard it was terrible, though.
I heard it was terrible, too. Yeah. So I'm not going to hold that against him. He didn't sign the contract there. He was just, he just got roped into it.
He was just a horse.
Exactly. He's just a loyal horse. He's going to follow The Lone Ranger anyway. But no, he, just to like a generation of America, he was, you know, the coolest horse in the world. So I'm gonna say Silver from The Lone Ranger is my number three.
I like that. That's a good pick. My uncle was a huge fan of that show. All right, number two, Alex.
My number two is Secretariat, fastest clocked horse of all time. Mm-hmm. For me, although Secretariat may not have left such a mark with Triple Crowns as much as some of the other ones, but fastest horse of all time, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that Secretariat was my number one on the list. I'm curious to see who your number one is. So Secretariat was my number one. My number two was Farlap. If you haven't heard of Farlap, unbelievable horse. Won 32 of his last 35 starts with 2 seconds. At distances from 1,400 meters to 3,600 meters. I mean, he was also a 1,200-meter winner earlier in his career. Was not restricted to racing against his own age, but rather took on all comers. Didn't matter what size, what speed you were, Farlap took you on and made slight work of you. So Farlap was unbelievable. I got to put him at number two.
I'm going to have to go with Alex. I'm going to take Secretariat at number two.
Number two, okay.
Still holds the Churchill Downs record. First to break 2 minutes in the Kentucky Derby. Ran each quarter mile faster than the one before it in that race. He was still accelerating That is insane.
Yeah.
I don't think any other horse will ever do that.
No, I think Secretariat probably will go down as the fastest horse of all time, and that's why he's number one on my list. I'm curious, who's your number one, Alex?
Mine was Seabiscuit. That's why I was kind of smiling
Seabiscuit.
When he said that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, he could definitely make a case for number one. Just loved by many. Great film.
Great film. Right. Exactly. That's
That's
enough.
He left a lot on the track. And his jockey, very well known jockey. I just thought that just overall he brought the most to the table.
Right. Yeah. Seabiscuit was a great horse. Matt.
Well, I'm gonna pick a horse who brought something to the table that no other horse ever has.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm taking Mr. Ed, number one.
I like that. I love Mr.
Ed. Guys, Mr. Ed could talk.
Yes,
and
he could.
I think anyone who is, a pet owner or, you know, has a horse or anything,
right.
I think the biggest thing they wish could happen was that their animal would talk back to them.
Right.
You can communicate openly with Mr. Ed. He'll tell you how he's feeling.
Right.
Ask you how your day went. Mr. Ed's number one. He can talk, guys.
I like that.
You could have a conversation with Mr. Ed.
I love that. You know, that was a great show, too. My grandma used to love that show. Mr. Ed will go down as one of the greatest horses of all time. I like that. That was a great list, man. That's fictional.
You.
A little fictional here.
A lot more.
That was good
didn't
stuff.
Make the
Matt,
cut.
Matt was nice. He kept some off. He was spitting some of them to me before. He that added a couple. He had some more fictional ones.
That was impressive. All right. Well, folks, give us your top five horses, okay? Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at AlMartinWKR to weigh in on that. Again, I wish California Chrome. I can't talk today. California Chrome. I wish California Chrome all the luck in the world. Because, man, that would be quite the accomplishment if he does become a Triple Crown winner. Again, it hasn't happened since the 70s. So we'll see how that goes down, and definitely we'll talk about that. All right, well, 2 minutes left, guys. Really quickly, Sue is going to join the Lions finally for OTAs. Long overdue? What do you think?
Eh.
No?
I mean, I guess it is just because of the new coaching regime, but at the same time, talk to me when the season starts. Talk to me when he signs a contract extension.
So you think people are blowing this out of proportion?
Yeah.
You think
so? I think
so?
That's just part of the NFL today.
Alex, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with Matt. Wait till the season starts. He's obviously on a contract year. He's probably looking to land some big bucks somewhere else. A lot of people, I've heard a lot of opinions that he's not going to stay in Detroit. So maybe this OTA thing is him putting the effort in, showing teams that he does actually care regardless of the contract. It might be kind of like a political move in a way.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a political move. I think it's all about business at the end of the day. You know, speculation about a long-term deal having to do with, you know, him just now showing up to OTAs. And, you know, I think it's about time, though. You know, as 10 practices left in OTAs, he's been voted as a captain this year for the team. I think him showing up definitely says a lot, and I'm glad he did. I think people are blowing out of proportion, though, because I've read a few blogs here and there that people are bashing him and saying, oh, he should have been done this, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, the NFL is about business. I understand why he's holding out. It's all about the Benjamins at the end of the day. So I'm glad he is showing up to OTAs, though, and hopefully that aids in the leadership of this Lions team. All right, well, that's it. That's all we have for you today, folks. Again, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday. It is gorgeous outside. Again, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow at 6 p.m. I sit down with James Moore, former MSU football great back in the 80s. Be a part of that live studio audience by signing up online for free at WKR.org. Take care, folks, and bees.